on Triple J.
You know when someone's got a really sickly sort of voice and it just makes you want to listen to them non-stop?
I do not know what you're talking about.
Oh, g'day, Lewis Hubbard.
G'day, Veronica Milsomman. G'day to you. Yeah, I'm real sick. I've been really sick for a few days. I've been hiding it like a trooper because I'm kind of a hero, just an everyday hero. I don't want to bring it up and make a big deal about it. But yeah, I'm a hero. I've been soldiering through this cold. It's turned me into a real idiot. So I have this tendency to just talk for ages when my brain disappears.
Okay, stop.
Yeah, fair enough.
No, in truth, though, you just didn't want to leave me alone with Flume.
That's true.
Because you wanted to share the love with him.
I wanted to feel the aura.
Yeah, he came in and presented us with some new music, which was pretty bloody exciting. The text line lit up, and he also brought in a special guest who you'll be hearing about in the podcast too.
Yeah, we got the Bear Pack back in, Steen and Carlo, to solve problems. The last time they came in, they solved a heck of a problem. It was quite illegal, really, about sharing demerit points, which we got really slapped over the wrist about later. This one, more of a general feel-good problem.
Yeah. Also, have you seen the Mad Max movie? The Doof Warrior is probably one of the best parts of it, apart from, what's his name's lips?
Tom Hardy.
Oh, boy. Oh, I get lost in those lips.
I would dive right in. I would love to touch them with my lips.
God damn, me too.
Oh, well, is he married? I bet he is. What a lucky lady.
I'd like his lips on my neck.
Like to have his lips as my lips.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Do you want, as in you want lip neck, you want like your own little neck lips, or you want him to kiss you on the neck?
I want him to kiss me on the neck.
Oh, I just thought you wanted like a second set of lips, just full and luscious, sitting in your neck.
My B-team lips. No, they'd be A-team for sure.
Anyway.
The Doof Warrior is Iota, and he's this incredible actor, musician, performer, and he came in to tell us about behind the scenes of Mad Max, essentially. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah, Sam Campbell dropped by, as ever, the street angel, to talk garbage, as usual, but this time more literal garbage than the normal garbage that he spouts.
King Gears and the Liz Wiz dropped by. They've been doing Gears Fests across the country, and they've got Sydney's happening this weekend, and we just want a report, basically.
Yeah, we didn't get all eight of them in. Could have, though. Would have been fun.
No, couldn't. They would have just gone on for about 10 minutes, like their songs.
Yeah. They probably dropped like 3 albums while they were in the studio. With us. Becky Lucas came by to tell us what's cool. And also, we talked a little bit about an exciting new development in Formula One.
Grid boys.
Yeah.
Sexy grid boys. No, they're not even.
Just regular old boys.
Whack them in a skirt and bra.
Get their legs out there.
Finally, Flume has arrived. Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hey, welcome back. Nice to see you again.
Good to be back.
Thanks for coming in. Jeez, you've been gone for ages. What have you been up to for
the last
few months?
It's been too long.
It has.
What have we been up to?
It's a broad question, sorry.
Yeah, I've been doing a bit of touring. I've been doing a bit of writing. I've been doing a little bit of time off, but mostly writing and touring.
Where have you spent the most amount of time, do you reckon?
In the world, touring?
Yeah.
America. Yeah, USA's really picked up in the last year. It's like it all happened here and then it happened in the US, you know, a year or two later. So it's great. It's kind of like the record has like a second life over there. It's cool.
Yeah, that's funny. I've been seeing some photos of some of the gigs over there. It looks like they've just been selling out and people have been getting really into it. Just looks like it's been totally wild for you for the last few years.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
We've noticed that you've been, actually a lot of people have been talking about it when they've been coming here, that you've been like hosting them in your studio in Sydney. It sounds like you've had a lot of international visitors in there too. Like, for example, the guys from Little Dragon were telling us that they'd heard a new song of yours and they told us...
It was banging. Very fat.
Very fat.
Very fat.
Which was cool. But like we heard names like Rory. Has he been in there?
I've been hanging out with a lot of people. Yeah, just doing bits and pieces.
What about the Preachers?
I was actually just hanging out with Izzy before. But, you know.
Okay. What about London Grammar? Were they there? This is what we've been hearing.
The Laneway tour was on and they were all on there. So I definitely... went down and said hey to everybody.
You just hosted Laneway at your place?
Pretty much.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, because the last time you were in, you were talking about the new music you were making and moving towards the next album. You said that it was starting to sound much bigger. Is that still feeling true a little bit later on down the track?
Yeah, there's much bigger parts of it. There's much smaller parts as well. You know, I feel like there's a lot more dynamic range in the new stuff. But, man, I got so much stuff. I don't even know what's happening. Like, I'm just, like, building it and building it and building it until... it's perfect. And then I'm going to release it.
Okay, so you're still tinkering with it?
Totally, yeah.
Okay. So when do you reckon we'll have it?
Who knows?
Okay. And when you've stopped tinkering.
When I've stopped tinkering.
Well, you are back in Australia to do some pretty fun shows at Sydney Opera House with Future Classic.
Uh-huh.
What have you got planned for those on the over the weekend?
Lots of cool surprises, which I'm not going to spoil right now. Mm. But I would just want to say I'm very excited because I am playing at the Opera House. It's with Future Classic. They're my boys. I've been with them from the get-go. Like, they were the first guys that signed my music in the world. Nathan and Chad and all the guys at that label have basically steered the Flume ship to where it is today. And, yeah, it's just killer to be able to play their 10th birthday.
Because you're basically just only in town for a couple of days, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I was just in America for 10 days doing a bunch of festivals. And we flew back specifically just for this show.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely in a different headspace right now. I'm on America time still.
Well, we did mention earlier that you were bringing in a surprise. We weren't entirely sure what it was. We can see now. If you're listening, you won't be able to see what we can see. But it is not so much a what, but a who that you've brought with you, which is exciting.
Don't say who it is, though, yet, Flume. We thought we could get people to guess. But someone who features?
Yeah.
Why have you brought him with you?
Well...
No reason, just
there's
to hang
so
out.
So many secrets, I can't handle it.
It is, it's because I've got, not giving too much away, he is involved in some new music.
Yeah, yeah.
Which you brought with you.
Yes.
All right, tell us what this new song's called before we put it on.
This new song is called Some Minds.
Okay. And do you want to tell us anything about it?
Let's chat about it after.
Okay.
I think we'll let everyone listen and then we'll chat about it because I don't want to put things in people's heads, you know. I like to let them...
Awesome.
Sure. Well, here it is. The first time anyone's hearing this track from Flume featuring a mystery guest.
Yeah.
Text us in. Yeah, if you reckon you can guess who it is, give us a call, 1-300-055-536. It is called Some Minds. You're on Triple J. We'll be back with Flume after this.
That right there is brand new stuff from Flume. This track is called Some Minds. We're joined in the studio by Flume, and we were trying to get people to... Flume, you were pretty nervous just then, weren't you?
Yeah, it's a little nerve-wracking. new material, always nerve-wracking.
Totally. We were trying to get people to guess on the text line who was featured.
Lots of pretty interesting guesses coming in. People like Eminem, for instance. Sufjan Stevens. Is it Daniel Johns? Is it Gautier? Is it The Wiggles? All good guesses. But Alicia from Coffs Harbour, you reckon you figured out who it was?
Alicia. Yeah, it's Andrew Wyatt.
Oh, from Mike Snow. Correct. And he's joining us in the studio right now. Hey, Andrew.
Hello.
And what'd you think?
Hi. Good guess. Good guess.
What'd you think of the song, Alicia?
I really like it.
Correct answer. Well done.
Thanks, Alicia. Yeah. Twice. Right twice.
Thanks, Alicia. Andrew Wyatt, very excited to have you in the studio and in the country. What a delightful surprise.
Cheers, thanks. Yeah, I know. I'm surprised to be here. I boarded a flight for Tasmania.
No, right.
I'm just kidding.
So tell us how you guys met for the first time.
Did we meet at the Red Bull Studios?
No, we met in New York.
Yeah.
We met in New York. It wasn't Red Bull, but it was... Yeah, we got paired up. I think our managers were kind of chatting and they said that, like, you were keen. And I was like, oh, my God, Andrew from Mike Snow.
Oh, yeah. He's winding me up now.
I was like, holy crap, let's do it. And we ended up getting into a studio and for like one day and just did this thing and it just worked. And you were in a bit of a wild headspace that day, I think.
Yeah. It was, I think that day or the day before was sort of like a relationship had ended.
Oh.
And so it was all about that. But it was kind of easy to write about. And then the track had a very melancholic thing, you know, which I am comfortable with.
Because and had you heard of much?
How I spend my life.
Yeah, had you heard much Flume stuff before that? Obviously, because you were keen to work with them.
Yeah, you know, I heard it, and I was, you know, it's definitely. I heard the opportunity that we could do something kind of, you know, that sounded very fresh, and I really like the way his tracks all sound really fresh, you know. So,
did you guys collaborate on more than one song, or is it just the one that'll be on the album?
So far, just the one, you know, because we've both been really crazy with schedules and stuff, but I think we have a really good synergy or something.
Yeah, we want to do more. Like this is the beginning.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So you're in town now. Are you going to be performing? Are you going to be helping out at the Future Classic Show at the Opera House? Or are you in and out?
Yeah, no. I'm in with both feet for this Vivid Festival.
Okay. Yeah. And then, so will you just come on board for that one track during the set? We're getting too detailed now, are we?
Yeah. Yeah. We don't know.
And there will be just one guest at the shows, do you reckon, Flume? Or?
It's all a secret. You're not supposed to tell anyone.
All right,
just pull the reins back, girls. Come on.
Well, it's just been it's been a while since we've heard new music. People are still so excited. We just had a text in from Tess and Rosebud, who just endured a 3-hour English exam and has now come straight out into this. A day is made. You guys are making people's dreams come true.
It's what we try to do.
Flume, did you enjoy the process of this new music making? Like, how different was it to the first time around?
It was great. Like, the thing is, I hadn't really done many vocal sessions with people. Like, I had done it all remote. You know, I wrote these ideas and then kind of sent them off and had stuff sent back. Like, with all the Chet Faker stuff, that's how it worked. And with Andrew, I was super fresh. I was green. I didn't know what I was doing. He came in. He's an absolute pro. Just knew what he was doing. We sat down. I played him a few bits and pieces that I've been working on drafts. And then I think I played this idea was like the third thing I played. And he was just like, yep, that's the one. Stop it. Let's do that. And I put it on loop for like 45 minutes. And he just sat there. You just sat there on your phone and you were just like humming into it for like 45 minutes. And then eventually like, all right, I got it. And then just busted out that chorus hook and, yeah, the rest is history.
Wow. He thought I was playing song pop.
And the music video is going to be coming out too, which is another thing we had a little glimpse at it. It's sort of another Sydney Opera House related thing. You sort of cruising through there.
Yeah. Well, we're really, really couldn't believe we got access to the place. So, it was a really special place. We actually filmed it. I think it was, we started at 11 p.m. and finished at 11 a.m. So Saturday night, Sunday morning when it was empty, and it was just a really eerie experience being in that building with no one in there.
Yeah.
But really, really awesome. It has a really unique energy.
Yeah. Well, if you are going to the Sydney Opera House for Vivid Festival, you'll be able to see both Andrew Wyatt and Flume at the Future Classic. Things are happening on the 29th and the 30th this weekend.
But loving hearing new music from you. We can't wait to hear more and to see the music video, for that all to come out. It's brilliant. Thank you so much for coming into the studio, guys.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Now, we all have to face a lot of problems every week, a lot of dilemmas, situations that we're uncomfortable with. Perhaps we have a confrontation with a friend or a housemate or a loved one or a family member, and we're worried about doing it because we don't know how it'll turn out. In order to help us kind of imagine how these situations would turn out for you, we ask a couple of guys to come in. They're called the Bear Pack. Steen and Carlo, they're improvisational comedians, and what they're going to do is act out the situation that you're afraid of confronting so that you know exactly how it'll turn out. Welcome to the studio, the Bear Pack, Steen and Carlo. How are you guys going?
Hey, guys.
Hey, I'm well.
Are you guys really good at sorting out your own problems because you sort of play them out with each other?
Yeah, I just call Steen every day that I have any kind of problem. Like, oh, I don't have milk, better call Steen, we'll act this out.
And that's the same problem every day, so I just stop answering after a while.
Yeah, just go to like the corner store.
I haven't had milk in months.
Indeed, so you haven't actually sorted out to just buy some. Yeah, it's an issue for you.
That's the answer. I've been living a lie.
If you've ever seen the Bear Pack perform before, you might have seen them touring around the country doing Melbourne Comedy Festival, just wrapping up shows at the Sydney Comedy Festival, also just doing shows all the goddamn time. They usually do shows that go for an entire hour with absolutely no script, just taking a little bit of a hint from the audience, and then they just kind of go. And they often turn into pretty wild scenarios, pretty weird scenarios.
There's always a Spanish man, if my memory serves me correctly.
Yeah, we owe him a lot. We're in debt to that man.
But how are you? Because you guys just finished up at Sydney Comedy Festival. That all went well?
Yeah, it was great. We sold out both shows at Giant Dwarf. So we had like 200 and something people come both nights. I think the first one was about a roller disco.
And the second one was about a carnival town, a town where it's always carnival.
Oh.
Was that a good, happy carnival town? Or
a terrifying dystopia.
What's the most common sort of reaction you guys get to your shows?
I think after the show, I was like, oh, that was great, but like how much of it was written? Or what did you talk about beforehand? It's like, no, nothing. Literally Absolutely nothing.
Which is, that's kind of a compliment in some ways when you do an improvised show and people are like, yeah, but which, what script did you use?
We used script 7B. All right. But last time we had you guys in, you solved a very complicated dilemma. It involved some crime, a dog, a dying dog.
Demerit points?
Yeah, look, you guys did a great job with a very difficult concept.
And we won't lie, our producer was out through the windows going, guys, I think this is crime. I think we are advocating
crime. Shut it down. So we would love you to get in touch with us. Either give us a call on 1-300-055-36 or text us 0439-757-555. If there's a dilemma that you're not quite sure how it's going to play out, any kind of confrontation that you're having with anyone that you know, and you just like, you want these guys to play the situation out so that you know exactly how it'll turn out. And then when you confront the situation, you've got the script ready to go. Some of the texts are already coming in.
Yeah, we got a text that says, from Blake from Belmont, he says, my dad's turning into an absolute nine ball with his new girlfriend. How do I tell him he needs to get rid of her?
What's a nine ball?
What is a nine ball?
One of those things that you shake up and
that's a magic eight ball. I think it's like the ball and a pool table.
Yeah, but why is that a negative?
Because they're always telling you what to do.
The balls.
Okay. Maybe it's a new term. Let's look it up on Urban Dictionary later.
Was he bald? Like, is that what it means as well? Like a nine was like a bald?
It's driving him bald. Maybe but all balls are bald. You could, like, why the nine balls specifically?
Unless it's a hairy ball.
That's the one hairy ball on the table.
Classic nine.
You never know. That's not the dilemma we're going to go with, though. The dilemma we are going to go with is Kate from Brisbane. How are you going, Kate?
Hi, good, thanks.
Can you share your dilemma with Steen and Carla?
Okay, so I've got this best friend. We've been best friends all throughout school and we go to uni together and we live on campus at the moment. So we're looking to move out at the end of the year. And we have this other friend who's assumed that she's going to move in with us as well, but we really can't live with her and we don't want to hurt her feelings. So how do we break the news to her?
Mm.
Oh, boy.
Do you guys have any questions for Kate?
What's the friend's name? Like, just make a name up if you...
You can just call her Jane.
Jane.
Because that is her actual name.
Yes.
Why is it that you don't want to... Or should I not ask that? I'm just curious.
We sort of have really different personalities, like pretty relaxed about a lot of things and won't really clean or cook, and it's just not really an ideal living situation.
Oh, yeah, we've all been there.
And so, and what's your other friend's name? So we've got Kate,
Alex.
Kate, Jane and Alex.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, sit tight, Kate. We're going to sort this out for you. Go for
it. Okay.
Oh, Alex, I just don't know what to do. I mean, I'm really excited to move in this new house with you, and I've told Jane, I've just told her she's not moving in, and it's just really exciting times for both of us.
I feel bad. I feel so bad.
No, don't feel bad
for Jane.
Don't feel bad. You know, if you're feeling bad, just go for a run. Just go for a run and let out the steam.
Oh, no, she's here. She's here.
Hide. Oh, shit. No, don't leave me.
Hey, dudes. Hey.
Hey, Jane.
What's shaking in the threesome? That's what I'm calling us now.
Are you?
I'm calling us the threesome.
Oh, cool.
It's kind of like threesome. But I use the word tree.
Are you holding a bowl full of dead goldfish?
Mm-hmm.
What's...
Going to fry them up.
I don't think that's...
Throw them at cars.
What? Don't... Why are you not wearing any pants?
Who needs pants, man? Just chilling out. I'm Jane, no pants. Hanging with the trees. I'm going to throw some fish at cars.
Listen, Jane, listen. We've been... The two of us have been speaking... And what are you... Get out of our garden! Stop! Get out of our...
I saw a frog in here.
Don't...
Saw a frog.
His name's Billy. And just... Jane,
good name
I don't...
for a frog.
Jane, you can't...
What can't?
You can't stay with us. We're moving in as a duo. There will be no... threesome, okay? There'll be no...
What? It's a threesome. I brought you guys a bowl of fish.
I'm sorry. It's final. We don't want you to stay with us.
I'm taking this frog.
Fine, take the frog.
Yeah, good, I will. I will, you know, and I'll take all the frogs and I'll make my own frog kingdom. We'll all live, be happy, all the frogs and me in my own house. I can do whatever I want. I don't need you to tell me who I am and where I'm doing. I'll buy pizza. I'll put it on the floor if I want. That'll be my house. That'll be my kingdom. Me and Billy living a little life in a house.
And those are the specific reasons why you cannot stay with us.
Well, yeah, that's a fair point.
Kate, how'd you go there? What do you think?
Yeah, that was great. I'll probably have to try not to buy her any goldfish and see how it goes.
Or do, and then just see if she throws them a card.
That's the test.
That could be the ultimate test. Oh, so when are you going to have to make this confrontation, Kate?
Well, we won't be moving out to the end of the year, so sometime before then.
Well, yeah, you've got a bit of time there to work it out, even if it isn't goldfish related. But thank you for your dilemma, Kate.
Okay, thanks for that, guys.
Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Kate.
Bye.
And Bearpack, thank you for coming in and solving the world's problems just one step at a time.
Just a little bit every day, a few laughs, a few great times, a little bit every day.
And if anyone has seen Jimmy the Frog, can you please...
Billy, yeah, return him to the house.
We've got with us in the studio a man who is a starring role in a movie that's at cinemas at the moment. It's called Mad Max Fury Road, and hopefully you've seen it. Hopefully you've loved it. I know Lewis and I did. It's Leota. How you going?
Hi, how are you?
You did a bit of a facial expression when Veronica said starring role.
Yeah, it's not really a starring role.
Oh, my
role.
God, it is. It definitely is.
It's a cult favourite already.
It is a cult favourite. I will say yes to that.
So you do play the Doof Warrior, who, for anyone who hasn't seen the movie, is a flamethrower, guitar-playing blind mutant in a red onesie riding a car made of amps.
That's it. That's what it is. It's every 12-year-old boy's dream come true. It certainly was.
It's so amazing. How did you first hear about this role?
Just through my agency. They just said, you know, that I knew it was happening, or it tried to get up a couple of times. And so I just made sure that they knew that I really wanted to do it, and it just came along. So, you know, George Miller wants to see you. Can you just go in there and play a guitar? And it's somewhere between a scarecrow and Keith Richards. That was the brief. And so I looked at Keith and I tried a few of his moves, and I just dressed right up. Dirt on my face, brown teeth and black fingernails and leather and belts and jewelry and feathers, and hailed a cab and took my guitar and my little battery-operated amplifier, and I just went in there and rocked.
Wow. So auditions in Sydney to see George Miller? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
because
it was.
You were also like an orchestra leader in Great Gatsby. Do you reckon Baz and George talked? Or
I don't know. I don't know. Hopefully they perhaps will keep talking.
What did you play in the audition?
I think I wrote a song. It was because it was the Keith Richards reference. So I sort of wrote a bit of a Stonesy tune, something about rocking in the desert or something. But I didn't really have to sing anything. It was just play, you know, go crazy, do something nuts.
The movie, the music in the movie is just so incredible. Here's a little sample of what it sort of sounded like. Some of this amazing guitar playing. What was the sort of shooting process like for you? Was it intense?
It was intense when I was shooting, but, you know, I didn't do a lot of days. You know, I'm hardly in the film.
Really? Feels like you're in it a lot.
Yeah. It's I probably spent maybe 2 weeks on set, but I was over there for 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah. Just because, you know, George kind of said, oh, this is a great character. We've got this idea and that idea, but we don't know where we're going to slot him in or how it's going to work. So what are you doing for the next 6 months? Do you want to come over? And I just went, yeah. And, you know, I was quite happy just to hang around. I sort of did quite a bit of drum wrangling, like just finding the drummers and teaching them some patterns to play on the back of the truck. And I also played guitar and drums at the workshops for the stuntmen and the actors when they were trying to get riled up and all war boyish. So I had a few little jobs to do, but once they started shooting, I spent a lot of time in my apartment painting.
Oh.
Yeah, and wandering around town.
Because you were in Namibia, right?
Yeah.
So when you said you were finding drummers, is that you were finding local drummers?
Yeah, they did a lot of that before I got there, and they had a bunch of them that they just said, we just want you to pick, you know, who you think's the best there and then get them together and rehearse, you know, four of them and just get a bunch of patterns ready for them to play for 8 hours a day.
How was it shooting? Because it looked dangerous.
It was. They said to me, you know, don't aim the guitar into the wind.
Oh, God.
Because it really did shoot flames, and you really were playing.
Yes.
And the guitar was really heavy, was it?
Yeah, it was like about 50 kilos. Oh. So it was on bungees and I was on bungees from the hips. And, you know, the whole thing just bounced. And when the truck moved, there was all this kind of inertia going. So you had to sort of get your feet and learn how to do it properly. But once I sort of just learned to trust that I wasn't going to go flying off the edge, then you just go for it and let go, kind of. It's nuts.
Because you were, obviously you said you're up there for ages and you were having to play real music out of the real guitar, which was actually coming out of the amps, I assume.
No, there was an amp underneath
where
I was standing. Yeah. So it was just blaring up towards me.
So were you trying to play through some songs that, you know, like actual songs? Was it mostly just noise?
I tried to play some stuff, but it was really hard. Like just to, you know, and it wasn't a great guitar either. Mm. You know, it was pretty bad. It spent the evenings in the desert, like hanging in the truck, covered up, but it was cold and then it was the heat of the day and it was a pretty messy guitar. It wasn't great.
So how fast were you traveling?
We got up to 80 Ks.
Okay. And were there really heaps of trucks going by? Or was,
everything
what was
that
digital?
You see was totally there.
Okay.
It was coloured a little different. The actual desert was a lot bleaker and more white. The film's been coloured, but everything else that you see, it was totally there.
Yeah.
It is wild, like, how intricate all the details are. Like, every prop, every costume, every car, everything just feels so detailed.
Yeah.
Were you given much of a detailed sort of character for the Doof Warrior?
No. We just sort of worked out that Hugh Keysburn character, Immortan Joe, had found a young Coma.
Coma was his name, yeah.
Coma the Doof Warrior, yeah, in a cave somewhere. Yeah. And I'm not sure how he became a musician, but apparently he had some sort of talent and he built his own guitar and, you know, he had no eyes, obviously, and
Also, he hadn't been blinded in a fight or anything.
No, he was actually born without eyes.
Ah.
They made this goatskin mask for me. And so I made the story up that it was his mum's face.
That's raw.
that, you know, his mum had been killed and when they found him, he was hugging her head. And so they took him with the head. And as he grew up, he turned the face into a mask so that he could honour his mum as he went out to war.
Wow, what a beautiful man.
It's a beautiful sort of Hannibal Lecter story.
But it was an appropriate image for the character, you know, to rock it out there.
Mm.
So do you think with George Miller saying that there's going to be future Mad Max films that he might get much of a bigger character?
Possibly.
Mm.
I don't know.
That'd be handy.
Yeah, it wouldn't suck.
That'd be pretty amazing.
But your other, obviously, you know, you're not always on trucks jumping around on bungee cords. You're currently doing your own show.
Yes. I've written a show with my pal, Craig Islett, who's directing. So this show's called B-Girl, and it's about a girl who's in an unhappy relationship, and she creates in her mind a glam rock god and world that she escapes to.
And that's at Sydney Opera House.
It's at the Opera House. It opens in June.
In a onesie? Or?
I'll be wearing a onesie backstage. I'm wearing one now, actually.
Always. We all are.
Yeah, right now.
There's just like a beautiful story where she cuts the face off her mother and puts it on her goat ski. It's a really tender opera.
It is. But it's rock and roll and it's glam and there's smoke and loud guitars and it's rock.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for telling us about that wild character and wild story.
Thank you for having me in.
Yeah. Sorry that we came across so fanny. I definitely did.
Yeah. We were just very excited. It was a really fun part of the film.
Great.
Cool.
Great. Thank you. Well,
Iota, aka Doof Warrior, thanks for joining us.
Campbell.
Here he goes and hits the streets and asks pertinent questions, whatever's floating around his brain this particular week. What's been on your mind, Sam?
G'day, Veronica and Lewis. I've been thinking about dads and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
your
in
own
what
dad
regard?
Or other people's dads?
Do you guys ever remember going to the dump with your dad and rubbish dump?
I used to go to the tip with my dad.
Let's
go chuck some stuff at you. Like, yes, I love you, Dad. You're the best. You're invincible. You're probably going to live forever.
It was a give and take. You put some things away, you leave with a few good things too.
Well, I was just thinking about how, and we can also, you know, you find the old Ralph magazine. All right. No, but It's hard though, because it can break your dad's heart. Because when you turn into a moody teen, you don't want to go to the dump with your dad anymore. He's like, "Come on, we're going to the dump." You're like, "No way! I hate you, Dad. I'm not going to the dump with you. You grotty old. I'm going to hang out with my teen friends, scoot around, chuck around the vortex." But you know, when your dad drives to the dump all by himself, he's gripping the steering wheel very tight. You know, he's and he builds a new boy out of rubbish, little dump boy. That's what he does.
So that's what happened in your family.
Yeah, he tried to make me jealous. He'd sing to the dump boy outside my room. "My little dump boy, so much cooler than Sam." You're like, "Oh, I don't care." And he's like, "Oh, well, taking the dump boy to Wet n' Wild." You're like, "No, but I'd love to have gone to Wet n' Wild." He wasted on the dump boy.
Okay, so did you ask the people on the streets about dump boys? Or?
I just talked in general about dads, I guess, yeah.
Okay, let's hear it.
It's a bit of a doozy.
Hear it.
Sam Campbell, Street Angel.
Oh my God, here I am back on the streets doing a very special report all about dads. Hey, excuse me, sir, what do you reckon?
Dads? What about dads?
So what do you reckon in general?
I have a dad.
You got one?
Yeah.
Oh yeah? What kind?
What do you mean?
Big ones, little ones. Some of them are just quite trendy.
Oh, mine's not.
My dad's really mean.
You're the mean dad.
I have a really mean dad.
Oh, what does he do?
Just, like, telling me that I suck a lot.
Jeez Louise. I read recently in the magazine that dads can live up to 100 years old.
I believe that.
How many dads do you reckon there are in the world kicking around?
2 billion.
2 billion dads? That's a lot of dad meat. You got a dad?
Yeah, I've got a dad.
Oh, yes. You got a good one?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
How's he stack up?
I guess 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10.
You know, I heard recently in a magazine, if you bash your dad, you get to be a new dad. You become the dad.
Oh, really? When did you read that?
Late 90s.
Okay.
All right, that's pretty much it. I was definitely out here, out on the streets, asking questions. No one can ever go at me for that. But it's time to go. Street Angel flying away, swooping through the night. As the sun falls and the moon rises, the Street Angel will always believe and always dream. And if the Street Angel ever stops dreaming, well, that's a sad day. Because... All right, that's it. Bye.
Sam Campbell, Street Angel.
Wow, I love the image that you were just standing there in the middle of like a food court or something, just saying that to yourself.
Talking like you're Batman.
Sometimes it's hard to say goodbye.
Yeah, it certainly is. For Sam Campbell, Street Angel, you've done it again.
Thanks. I'll try to be less of a goose next time. Thank you.
Otherwise, we'll replace you with a rubbish boy.
Yeah. See you, dudes.
Bye.
See ya.
And if you've been catching any of the Dawn of the Giz Fests around the country, you might have seen them so far in Melbourne and Adelaide and Perth. I've looked at a bunch of the gig photos. They look absolutely insane. And the guys heading that off, of course, King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. We're joined by Stu and Eric from King Giz now. How you guys going?
Yo.
Good.
Yeah. Real good.
How did those first three gigs go? Were you happy?
Oh, so happy. So fun.
Been gags.
what like made you guys want to do this as a touring mini festival? How did this idea start?
It just kind of turned out that way. We just wanted to play gigs with all our mates' bands and stuff in each city, and then we just had to put a name to it, I guess. So Gizfest,
bit
there
of
it
a
is.
Snowball.
Yeah.
Was it always going to be Gizfest, or were there other competing names?
We wanted to make it something different altogether, but then we just got lazy, so it was just the obvious choice.
Yeah, right. But, lots of people accidentally call it Jizz Fest?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I wanted to maybe do that, but then I was a bit scared as well to call it that.
Okay.
But
I think that was probably wise, I reckon.
Yeah, it might have been a bit strange.
You might have just got some weird people arriving wanting a different thing to what you were offering.
Sexpo, maybe. All of those customers.
It's been great, though. A bunch of them have sold out already. The Sydney one, which is happening at the factory tomorrow, is sold out. Were you expecting that?
Not at all. It's always a surprise. But yeah, I think, I don't know, it seems like people are just really into the idea of seeing a bunch of local bands in smallish venues. It's cool.
What are the sort of gigs that you guys like going to?
Well, that exact thing, I guess.
Yeah, right. I suspected as much. But are there those sorts of, what are other gigs like that around that you guys head to?
Well, there was always one at the Nash where, like, we kind of started playing. The guys who, like, ran that venue used to just do these crazy parties, like, once a month with, like, 40 bands.
In Geelong.
Yeah. That was, like, yeah, I don't know. This is kind of a similar thing, but... And we're doing one in Geelong at the Barwon Club on the 7th. So, yeah, that's... I don't know. I guess venues, when if they have the ability to do it, like, if they have a couple of stages or whatever, like, yeah, it's not uncommon.
Do you reckon you'll do it again now that you've done it for 1 year?
Yeah, we've got plans to do something similar in December, but and hopefully make it a bit bigger. But we'll see. That's still in the pipeline.
Were there any sort of weird problems that you encountered? Like you went, oh yeah, probably like this is something we didn't expect when we're setting up a festival.
Not really, because all the bands we chose were just sort of pretty good friends with, so everyone's just been super. Easy to deal with. Like, there's no... Everyone just shares gear and rocks up and have a few beers.
So there's a few little hiccups, but, you know...
Oh, yeah, you just roll with the punches.
Get there in the
end.
It's
all good.
When you're, like... It's like when you're hosting a party and you're looking and you're going, oh, there's a toilet queue. Oh, I should have thought of something. And you're, like, trying to play. Is that never an issue?
Exactly. Yeah. No. Yeah, because we're doing it in venues, that's actually been super easy, so...
Yeah, cool.
Well, why don't we take a track off the album that you guys put out very recently from Quarters. We're not going to play the full 10-minute, 10-second version, I'm afraid, but let's play the slightly cut-down version of God Is In The Rhythm from King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, and we'll be back with Stu and Eric after this.
From King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, that's God Is In The Rhythm, and a shorter version than one you'll hear on the album Quarters, which was released just a few days ago. We're joined by Stu and Eric from the band in the studio, and you guys have just put out, like, obviously a lot of people talk about how quickly you put out albums. Is that because it's just easy for you, or is it because you're incredibly hard workers?
It's just because it's fun.
It's so fun.
And it's funny.
Because you've done, what, now, like, 6 albums in 3 years? Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
That's pretty prolific. Are you going for a record or just...
I don't know what the record is, but I'm sure it's a significant amount larger than that.
How many records did Zappa put out? Like probably a million in like a minute.
But how much planning do you do before you go into recording? Do you just sort of jam it out or...?
Quarters was less planned than some of the other records we've done. On sort of on purpose. We wanted it to be kind of jammy and loose. But some of the records are pretty super planned, I guess.
I think if you look, yeah, you can kind of probably go back and tell the ones that aren't as planned as much if you look through the back catalogue.
Do you guys, as in you might think, you're like, oh, well, let's hope no one realises we're getting away with it there.
Exactly, yeah. We're just fluking it.
So there were Quarters is 4 tracks, 10 minutes each. Was that the plan from the start?
Yeah, it was supposed to be Quarters, you know, for different kind of ideas that were all jammed out.
Yeah, right.
As we were saying, so many albums now and a lot of, like, pretty epic songs and albums. Is it hard for you guys to pick a set list when you do a show now?
Yes.
Yeah, we always... And people get angry because we can't play, like, the album we've just put out. Like, oh, sorry. But at the moment we're doing a lot of stuff off Mindfuzz because that's more... like rock, more like rock songs, so it suits live. But we play The River off Quarters.
Yeah, right.
That's about it.
We were talking about your live shows just before, about Gizfest, and we were saying, oh, is anything going wrong with you guys organising a festival gig, Gizfest? And you were like, no, it's all cool. And then as soon as we started playing the song, you were like, oh, actually.
A thousand things went wrong.
We just remembered some. Tell us the thing you were thinking of.
Our friend Sid, who used to play in Vasco, played a solo set, and he I don't think he's got a guitar or anything. He rocked up in a big dress and a red wig. He's funny. Anyway, he borrowed a couple of guitars and a guitar amp, and he lost them. He left them out the front of the corner on the road,
It was all good. The pub across the road, like, found them and held on to them. And they were like, hey, man, like, are these yours? I was like, oh, yeah, thanks. Thanks. And that was all sweet, so it wasn't really a big problem.
I probably didn't tell that story very dramatically.
On the night, we were like, oh, no, like, Sid's lost his guitars. Like, we're going to have to find him, but it all worked out.
So tomorrow you're playing Sydney. Who else is going to be on the lineup with you? Who have you roped in for that show?
We got our good friends the Laurels, who are a Sydney amazing kind of shoegaze psychedelic band, and then Babe Rainbow from Brisbane, and the Murlocs, who are from Melbourne. They're coming as well, and then Loz Tones, who are a local Sydney band, Mezco, who seem real cool, like a two-piece that I haven't seen before, but yeah, and another band, The Grinding Eyes. I know there's a mix of locals on the Dandelion, who are, yeah, just put out a couple of really amazing songs.
We heard you whispering.
Cute whispering.
A Dandelion. Yeah, thanks, Stu. But yeah, that's, I don't know, a bit of a mix.
Pro radio.
A few interstate crew, a few local crew. It's going to be a vibe.
That's awesome. Well, you're also going to be doing, apart from Sydney, Brisbane and Geelong, as you were saying before, you're also doing a big overseas tour coming up later this month with heaps of festival gigs. You're even playing a jazz
festival. Yeah, we have to organise that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Montreux Jazz Fest. It's like the most famous festival ever.
Do you guys consider what you do as jazz?
No.
No.
How did you end up?
I don't think that festival is necessarily jazz. It's like it's the one that Smoke on the Water was written about.
Right, okay.
Because when the festival site burnt down, so they wrote that song about that festival. But like Hendrix and like, you know, not necessarily jazz bands over the years have played it.
Aren't we playing like the Rock Cave or something?
Yeah, it's called like the Rock Cave.
Oh. I think they stick all the rock bands over in a cave and...
Yeah.
Actually, is it also the festival where they have like cabaret and comedians and stuff too?
Yeah, there's lots of interesting, weird stuff. I actually can't wait. It's in Switzerland. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, you're going to a few pretty wild places. Are you going to anywhere for the first time on this tour?
I've never been to Switzerland.
Yeah, lots of places in Europe.
We're playing Latvia.
Latvia.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, lots of weird places.
How does the accommodation style thing work with you guys, with there being so many members of the band?
We just bunk up and snuggle.
Yeah, on our rider, it's just like we are happy to share beds, cheap and nasty. That's all it says.
Oh, yeah, that can get cheap and nasty in Europe too. Bed bugs and whatnot.
I got bed bugs once. It was pretty shit.
Well, let's get out on a high, shall we? Stu and Eric from King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. You guys are going to be playing Gizfests tomorrow in Sydney, Brisbane on the 31st of May, and back at a hometown show in Geelong at the Bowen Club on the 7th of June. All the best for the jazz fests and stay away from the bedbugs.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Sex tip of the week.
Sex tip of the week.
Now it's time for another sex tip of the week. Brought to you by Liberal Senator Bill Heffernan.
Oh yeah, oh yeah!
If you want us to take your sugar, you've got to take some of our beef.
Mmm.
Oh yeah, oh
sex
yeah.
Tip of the week.
And if you're anything like Lewis and I, you probably get bedazzled about what the media is telling you is cool, what's on trend, what's a thing, which is why we get our friend and comedian Becky Lucas in to tell us
what's cool.
Hello.
Welcome back, Becky.
Hey.
Nice to see you. You're looking so cool today.
I've got a hoodie on.
Yeah, which is very now.
I know. Hoodie, some runners.
Yeah.
No exercise.
No. What's been cool? What do we need to know this week?
Well, there's trends that have come and gone. There's a whole new splash of coolness. And very good news, you're a wizard, Lewis. I'm just kidding.
You know that this has escalated to a point where Veronica's just putting up photos of her and Harry Potter now.
For those who don't get the visual reference, Lewis looks a little bit like Harry Potter. I mean, well, he's
obsessed
glasses.
With Harry Potter. He's always talking about it.
Stated Lewis. Move on, it's not cool.
But what is cool, there's a new trend at the moment. Fashionistas are wearing sneakers with their evening dresses.
Is that cool?
It is. So, Veronica, you don't have to worry about foot pain when you're trying to avoid Molly Meldrum at the Arias.
Yeah, sure.
Pretty good.
Is that...
And you're not going to see girls crying when they walk home through King's Cross. It's pretty good.
They can run now.
They'll be running. They'll still be crying, but they'll be running so quickly you won't see them.
Oh, no. Is this in revolt to the canned kind of high heel thing?
I think so, but it also seems like a Lily Allen... type thing. You know, she would wear like runners with dresses and stuff. It's like a new cool.
Is she cool again?
Like in the 90s. Yeah. Oh gosh.
Yeah, it's comfort. It's cool to be comfortable.
Mm.
And also, it also means that Like, I have made out with creeps just because I can't walk away because my feet are too sore. I'm like, all right, let's do it.
That's messed up.
Press that's cool, please.
That's cool. Although, can I just say, I do not endorse that that is cool.
Can you go the other way? Are you allowed to wear, like, a full matching tracksuit and high heels?
Not sure. That seems kind of underbelly. So,
underbelly stripper. Roberta. Yeah. All right. Well, something to think about maybe for next week. Yeah. What else is cool, Becky?
Well, I'm a bit worried because there's this new trend of police trying to be cool.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Queensland Police.
Queensland Police trying to be funny on their social media. An example of this, when Nickelback was in town, they had a picture of Nickelback and then they said, urgent police warning, men matching this description expected to be committing musical crimes in Boondall tonight. Now, my issue is, if the police are making fun of Nickelback, that means that Nickelback is cool.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It's gone full circle.
It's gone. You can't. Like, it's back. Nickelback's back.
Oh, wow.
Embrace it with arms wide open. Oh, that's stop Creed. It. That's Creed. So Creed's back.
Oh, no.
Train, the Baha Men, and Toe Rings.
Oh, God. Toe Rings?
Yeah.
How are they caught up in this mess?
I don't know. Just seems of that era.
Sure. I love that when the Queensland Police did the crazy, wacky video of the guy trying to make off with the ATM. Mm. I don't know if you saw that. They played this music underneath.
Sneaky.
This is them putting out official police videos now about crimes.
The clarinets are back.
All right, good to know, Becky.
This is cool. You might be interested in this. The latest craze on Twitter has people try to summon a Mexican demon called Charlie, and then Charlie.
What?
So what you do is first of all, Lewis, a demon is kind of like a dementor.
Stop it, Becky.
You got it?
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, right, it's so, just like the dementor I fought off with when I summoned the stag thing.
Lewis Hobber Harry Potter. That's all I'm saying. So what they do, people are putting pencils on top of each other and then you have to say, Charlie, Charlie, are you here?
Well, don't do it now.
Okay. Well, I don't have my pencils.
Oh, okay.
And if they move, then you can ask it questions. So people are asking it all sorts of questions like relationship advice, when the next Justin Bieber album's coming out and stuff.
So
that's cool.
That's cool. That is so bizarre.
Hang on a second. Where did you read this?
In the Daily Mail.
So, because Charlie feels like not a good name for a Spanish devil.
I know. It does. And there's all these people in Mexico saying they've never heard of it.
We don't know any Charlies.
I feel like it's just a country people go to if they don't. They're like, oh, it's in Mexico somewhere, and no one's going to question it.
Yeah, sure.
I asked them if you guys were going to keep letting me do this segment.
And
they'll respond, they boo.
didn't get back?
No
movement on the pencils?
Sure.
Wow. I'm bedazzled and bemused by that.
Well, I'm going to try it.
And I always thought if you wanted to summon a Twitter demon, you just had to post, like, anti-men's rights activists.
Yeah. How great are the feminist themes in Mad Max? And then they're just...
I know. Neck beards.
Yeah.
I get to summon a fedora.
That's cool. Ah, wow. I've learned so much.
I know. Well, that's about it for me, guys. I've got to get back on the internet.
God, that's quite enough. Yeah.
Get back in the feeds.
Overwhelmed. Thank you, Becky.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Sneakered feet and ballroom gown out of here. You're with Veronica and Lewis. Hope you're having a good afternoon.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the news recently. It's bad news, basically, for anyone who works in a government department. There was a Senate committee meeting yesterday, and if you wanted to wear a onesie and Ugg boots to work, not happening. Not on their watches.
Unbelievable. In Australia, of all places.
Yeah, totally. The home of the Ugg boot. Apparently it was brought up by a member of the department saying that, you know, it had become a bit of an issue. I don't know who the hell is wearing onesies anyway.
I know. You should be allowed, but that doesn't mean you should.
Yeah. And unless it's like a suit onesie or something. You know, that could be a good trick.
Suit, yep, like with those sort of track suits with a tie drawn on them,
for sure.
A T-shirt with a bow tie drawn on it that like kids wear to weddings.
Yeah, that's a good way to get around the whole clause. But yeah, I didn't even think that it would have to come to this, that there would be grown adults sitting in a room talking about onesies, but they were, and there was some confusion about exactly what a onesie was.
I didn't even know what a onesie was, and I was shown pictures of such garb.
Tell me what it is, so we all know.
I had to put it out of my head very quickly, Senator. But I don't know. I guess in the old days you would have called it a boiler suit of some description.
Yeah.
A boiler suit's like a mechanic sort of overall type thing though, right?
Yeah, my favourite bit about this is when the guy says,
"Tell me what it is so we all know."
Tell me what it is so we all know.
Yeah, just because you start using emojis, politicians, doesn't mean you know what's happening.
Yeah, totally. It reminds me of when I had my birthday recently and my whole family kind of flew into the city where I live to meet up, and we ended up, for some reason, was at a fancy restaurant, and we ended up talking about auto fellatio. I brought it up.
Sure, as you do.
And my brother was sort of saying something about it, and then Mum said, "Oh, what is it again? I mean, I know, I've just forgotten what the word fellatio means. What? No, say it." And we were like, we're not going to say it. We don't, really don't want to say it. And she was like, "Come on." And we'll, and then everybody looked at my brother and James had to explain what it meant, which was bad for everybody. It was bad for everyone in the room, everyone in the restaurant, really. Everyone probably heard a little bit of it.
Yeah, that handball process in that situation when someone, like a parent or someone goes like, "Can you explain that to me?" And everyone just goes, "Who's going to do it?"
Tell me what it is so we all know.
Tell me what it is so we all know. Have you been in that sort of situation? We'd love to hear from you, 0439 757 555.
Hopefully it was just something like a onesie. It was quite easy to describe. It wasn't too embarrassing.
Peter from Marrickville, what was the situation you got yourself into in the supermarket?
Well, we were trying to put our groceries up onto the conveyor belt, as you do, and my mum, out of the blue, turns to me and says, "Look, I understand what a 69 is, but why can't it be a 96?
Oh, that's a good point, probably, isn't it?
What was your response, Peter?
That you'd be facing the wrong way. I was just relieved that I didn't actually have to explain what a 69 was. That's, I'm glad she knew that much.
Well, she just had an innocent query about it, really, didn't she? Yeah.
Apparently it had been a big discussion at work, and so she then got to go in the next day and explain it to all of them why it couldn't be a 96.
So well done.
It forward.
You're explaining it to her whole office. You should just go in there and just go, "Have at me. What other questions do you have?"
Oh, finally.
Triple J. It's Veronica and Lewis.